We're off and rolling. Happy Friday out there. July 11, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. Alongside, as always, executive producer of the show, that would be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning99. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
You have Summer League on in the studio?
I do.
On that side of the glass?
I do have Summer League on.
Yeah? Grizzlies down 49-36 at half. But I will say, Gigi Jackson has 2 assists and 0 turnovers. That's something we were waiting for, right? Something that we really needed to see from him. A little bit of playmaking for somebody other than himself. Gotta love it. He has 9 points at half, but the Celtics are up 49-36. But we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We'll talk about Summer League. We have a couple of former Tigers. Now, 1 year with the team. I understand that.
Still counts.
But they are balling in Summer League. Especially a guy by the name of Naquan Tomlin. I know it was only a half year with him. But what he's doing with the Cavs in Summer League, pretty damn impressive. Pretty damn impressive. And you know what? What's funny about that is even looking back at all of the players that had NBA aspirations on that, 23 team, we always said Naquan Tomlin, even joining halfway through, is the guy who could potentially pop at the NBA level. But we'll talk about that. Also, Cooper Flagg had his debut last night. And you got to sort through it. Some good, actually, quite frankly, a lot of good, and one thing particularly bad. But he's a rookie. It was his first showcase of his skills, debut in Summer League. It is what it is. Also, Cooper Flagg played the Lakers last night. Bronny James Jr. was also playing. He looks solid. But his dad, lot going on with him. Talked about it yesterday, but he has not texted or talked with DeAndre Ayton since he was signed by the Lakers. And there is some questions about his future with the Lakers and what the Lakers' sort of next chapter is after LeBron James is gone. And Ramona Shelburne and Brian Windhorst, two ESPN NBA insiders, tabbed a report today, and there was some very, very interesting things regarding LeBron James and whether or not he will be an L.A. Laker this year or going into the future. No, he's 40. No, he's old. But still, very interesting stuff from Ramona and Wendy. As far as guests are concerned on today's show, David Cobb will join at 5 o'clock. Plenty to get to with him. And then 6 o'clock, we'll talk some Grizzlies, talk some NBA with the play-by-play radio voice on the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network, Eric Hasseltine. Blitz will be at 6:30. We'll hop into that then. And we have some musical stylings to get to in Major League Baseball in the past week. The Orioles had a very interesting national anthem singer last night. And then I do have to shame somebody for a rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game, but that was earlier in the week. All right, now go ahead and hopping into it. Tiger players, former Memphis Tigers, absolutely showing out in Summer League. Let's go to David Jones. He's David Jones Garcia now. He's adding his mom's name to dive back into his Dominican heritage. But he has continued to play really, really well. He dropped 24 points in just 18 minutes in the Spurs blowout win over the 76ers. He was 24 points, 9 for 12 from the field, 4 for 5 from 3, 5 rebounds. And here's the most important part for me. 4 steals, 3 assists, and he limited his turnovers. He is on his way to being the Spurs' leading scorer in Summer League. But at the same time, he has worked on some things. I watched just about his entire game yesterday, and he's worked on some things that I really think can help him make a roster and potentially be an end-of-the-bench NBA player. And that was always the question with him. Is he going to limit his turnovers? Is he going to try on the defensive end? Is he going to be more disruptive on the defensive end? I think he has grown pretty substantially year one to year two.
Yeah, it's all about defense for David Jones and keeping those turnovers down. We know he has a scoring ability. But when you're in that kind of tweener position in the NBA with your size, you have to do one thing very, very well. And he could score the basketball, but he wasn't amazing at it. He just didn't play defense at all. So if he can really become an all-around player while becoming a bona fide bucket, that's how he might be able to stick around the league. I still just don't know what position
right,
he plays, though.
He's shorter than a small forward, and he's kind of bigger and longer than a normal two guard.
Yeah. So where do you put him? That's the only problem. And Unfortunately, it's one of the reasons why I think that ultimately David Jones Garcia is going to be one of those. He absolutely cooks in the G League. He'll cook when he plays Summer League. And then, I just don't know if there's an actual place for him in the NBA.
And then eventually a damn good career overseas.
Probably so.
But he is showing out, and he's got an opportunity. He's opening up opportunities for himself with this type of film.
Right.
Now, the more impressive one, and I think the more likely guy to really make a step into a contracted, fully guaranteed NBA player, Naquan Tomlin. Did you see what he did? I know it was a loss against the Pacers, and he's on the Cavs summer league team. 30 points in 27 minutes. 12 for 16 from the field, 3 for 7 from 3, 5 rebounds. And he's just a guy, 6'10", decently big, can shoot, can stretch the floor, can block some shots at the rim. He needs to be a little bit better at rebounding and sort of the dirty work part. But listen, floor stretching bigs are a premium in today's NBA, and it feels like he's a guy who could definitely take a leap.
Yeah, he makes a little bit more sense when you look at where he would fit in the NBA because he can be that stretch four. You know what position he's going to play. He has scoring ability. He can rebound the basketball. Again, defense is one of the ways he's going to make his way into the NBA. I know we keep saying it, but for young players,
yes. It is two-way guys, right. Exhibit 10 guys.
Your offensive ability will give you a shot, but you have to have an all-around game and play good defense when you are – because, again, we know what position he would be, but he's still a little bit undersized and a bit of a weird fit there. If he can play defense, he'll be able to stick. I think that Tomlin has more of a chance than Jones Garcia to stick in the NBA. But at the same time, I'm very pleased to see both of them thriving because we know that they have that type of talent and everybody kind of deserves their moment. And the NBA Summer League is one of the best opportunities to have that quote-unquote moment.
And then there's Lester Quinones, and he's been balling.
Lester is a good player.
He had 20 points, 7 for 12 from the field, 5 for 8 from 3, 2 assists in 20 minutes. Again, he is a good player. He got some run with the Warriors. But, like, my question for him or about him, because he can play defense, we know that. It's like, when is he really going to get some run? Maybe he can do it with the Pelicans because the Pelicans are going to be looking for all hands on deck and all different types of things. He's still on a two-way. But it's like, when is Lester really going to break through and get his real opportunity is my question. He's earned it.
And he's been serviceable in his NBA minutes. The actual time he's been on the court with an NBA franchise, he's been good. He's a good basketball player. He's all around defense. He can knock down a three. I hope that being in an organization like New Orleans that has – really no direction whatsoever. We're going to talk about them a little bit later in the Blitz with the Herb Jones extension that happened. But they have no direction whatsoever. So it's kind of a perfect place for a two-way player who spends a lot of time in the G League but can be successful in the NBA. The Pelicans are like the perfect place for you to be because there should be opportunity there.
All right, now to the greatest hits of Summer League. Let's get to Cooper Flagg, his debut last night. Debut in Summer League, debut in a Mavericks uniform. Here was his final line, Connor. 10 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. And the 1 block was very big. It was at the end of the game. It led to a run out, and he got an assist to Ryan Nimhard standing at the 3-point line, and he knocked in a 3 to take the lead. So that 1 block didn't mean a whole lot, but here are the shooting numbers. 5 for 21 from the field, 0 for 5 from 3. What was your takeaway from watching that last night? I watched it cover to cover.
I thought that Cooper Flagg is going to be an effective NBA player. It's kind of like we predicted yesterday. We didn't know if he was going to be able to be super effective scoring the basketball in his first game, but we knew, let's say that he's not putting the ball in the bucket. He was going to impact the game in other ways, and that's absolutely what he did. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. His defense was there. His playmaking ability was there. The rebounding was there. He just wasn't knocking down shots. He looked a little bit nervous, but I understand why. You're in NBA Summer League. It's your first game. But he stayed aggressive. Like, he tried to posterize somebody pretty early.
Sure.
That was exciting to see. Overall, I understand why some people may say it was a bit of a disappointment because he was so inefficient on the offensive end. But I think that he showed why he's an overall prospect.
Right.
It's not that, and that's why yesterday we were talking about it was a bit odd that the tickets were so expensive because it's not like he's going to be some offensive showcase and show. It's just
he's not pulling up from the logo when he gets crossed out of court.
And
he's not just going to go posterize everybody when he drives into the lane. You know, like his offensive game still needs to be rounded out.
That being said, I do think he was overshadowed a little bit by somebody else on his own team.
Yes.
Like Ryan Nimhard was kind
draft
of incredible.
Draft Nimhard. I said this.
He was kind of amazing.
The NBA draft. Draft a Nimhard.
Yeah.
He had 21 points, 8 for 14 from the field, and
he was facilitating.
Player. 5 assists.
He was their best player last night. Like the Ryan Nimhard was overshadowed the number one pick, Cooper Flagg. So I expect Cooper Flagg, though, to be fine moving forward. Again, he showed the ability to be able to impact basketball games outside of just scoring, and that is why people were excited about him as a prospect. The scoring will come along. I just don't think that he is ready to be a 20-point-per-game scorer right now, but he will get there eventually. And to be honest, I'm kind of happy he didn't have a great game in his first
him,
one because we get to see
more.
Him again.
Yeah, so that whole idea of him dropping 30 and then being shut down,
yeah.
That's gone from yesterday. But real quick on Ryan Nimhard, he plays almost identical to his brother.
Yes.
Like it feels like a carbon copy, but it shouldn't be surprising. They are brothers, him and Andrew Nimhard. But Cooper Flagg, I try to be fair, and offensively, I'm going to be honest, he was brutal last night. It was bad. He could not get a bucket to fall. Now, some positives on the offensive side. He did get to his spots, you know. He did handle the ball relatively well, only had one turnover. Like, I thought offensively he was getting to where he needed to go. He just was not finding the bottom of the net. He was not putting the ball through the hoop, which ultimately was
shots.
The issue. They were not bad
he
shots.
He wasn't forcing anything.
No.
Which is the good news.
And I also think, if I'm trying to spin it, even though it is the Mavs and the Grizzlies are going to have to see him 4 times a year, that's tough in itself. But if I'm spinning it, I would tell you Cooper Flagg being on ball as much as he was last night and having to create for himself is probably not the perfect thing for him. Right? I think when the Mavs are at full strength, he'll be off ball a little bit more and there'll be people finding him for open shots, whether that's Kyrie or Clay or whoever's out there with him. I feel like somebody needs to facilitate for him to start his NBA career as opposed to him being the main guy with the ball in his hands trying to go make it happen for himself.
Yes.
But I still think he has that ability. It's just going to come with time, with the pace and the speed of the NBA you have to have an adjustment period, as much as we don't like to admit that. But overall, Connor, I thought he played a good game. If you take into consideration everything else outside of the offense and the shots not falling, he created for his teammates 4 assists to 1 turnover and had that late assist to Nimhard on the wing for a 3 to take the lead and ultimately win the game. 6 rebounds were great, but the defense was just phenomenal. He was in the right spot. He has great feel. 3 steals, 1 block, created opportunities for his team. I know that the shooting and the scoring is what everybody wants to pay attention to, and that's why when you hype up a guy, I think you need to be careful. When he's the main talking point on a consistent basis, people just assume, okay, this guy's going to score 20 every night, copy and paste. The truth of the matter is Cooper Flagg, if you have been paying attention to him through Duke, through his high school career, through everything else, you would see this game and you'd be like, okay, yeah, you want him to be better on the offensive end, but he still showed you what you expected. We knew this was a possibility. But if you bought into the hype, and you just assume that Cooper Flagg was going to be this generational offensive talent, then you surely were disappointed last night. But what happened last night was very predictable, in my opinion, when it comes to Cooper Flagg, the player, and how he was going to adjust game one.
Well, I just, to be honest, I think that the Mavericks are asking him to do a lot in his first game. And I think that the inefficiency was disappointing, but if you listen to his post-game comments, he says that he thinks it's actually one of the worst games he's ever played in his life. So I think that he understands that that's not going to get it done in the NBA, and he's got to be more efficient. And if you actually look at his stats for when he was at Duke versus last night, 21 attempts would have been the second most shots he took all last season. So that's not what he goes out there to do. He goes out there to play an all-around basketball game, and that's why the conversations about him have been interesting, because what is the expectation of Cooper Flagg his rookie season? And I just don't think it's going to be necessarily scoring the basketball at a high rate. He might have a couple of games where he pops, but what you want to see from Cooper Flagg over the season is all-around basketball, good defense, he increases his playmaking, and then he shows the ability to be an efficient scorer. that might be able to be a guy that can put it, you know, 20, 25 points per game at some point. And that's why I just think that the idea, he's a different type of prospect, because it usually feels like the people that the number one guy everyone's super excited about is a, this is a player that can score between 25 and 30 points per game. And I just don't know if that's what his peak looks like, because, you know, Cooper Flagg, he's aggressive in the paint. He can posterize people every once in a while, but he has still got some work to do offensively with just making sure the shots are going in. It's the other parts of his game that I think are a little bit more advanced than just necessarily putting the ball in the basket.
Yeah, 20-year-olds that have that feel on the defensive end are a rarity, and that's the truth of the matter. But, like, I think when we talk about Cooper Flagg once he reaches his prime, he may be a guy scoring 25 to 30 points per game.
Maybe.
I'm not totally sure. I'm not going to project that. But what I will tell you about him is he's going to be known, I think, by about year three as one of the better two-way bigs in this league, as a four. With ball handling ability, with some versatility, you can get to some more experimental lineups with him because of the versatility he has on the defensive end. I feel like we're just going to know him as a two-way guy, not necessarily some offensive juggernaut, because I think that's what his skill set has told us this entire time.
Yeah, and I think that we also got to remember, like, Wimby was like 2 of 13 in his first summer league game. I think that expecting these picks to come in and be polished NBA
Alex
players
Saar,
immediately,
by the way, last year in
was
summer league,
horrible. Not good offensively, but he impacted the game defensively and he showed flashes. And then by the end of his NBA, by the end of his rookie season, he was a good basketball player.
All rookie team.
I think that it's okay to say that Cooper Flagg was a little disappointing yesterday. But if you're going to say that, you also have to point out that he was impactful in other ways on the court. And that is why Cooper Flagg is going to be successful in the NBA. It's not just because of his offensive ability. For me, the biggest reason that he's going to be successful his rookie season is he's going to be able to impact defense pretty much immediately.
Yes.
And that is why the Mavericks should be excited about him. But you do need that offense to be a little bit more consistent and a little bit more efficient.
Yes. All right, now Bronny.
He was
Bronny,
good.
8 points last night. Didn't shoot the ball very well. 2 for 8, 1 for... 2 for 8 overall, 1 for 6 from three. But he had a knockaway when he was guarding Cooper Flagg in the post. He played really good defense. I know that everything that Bronny does is going to be overly and insanely scrutinized because he is the son of who we think is a top two player all time. Like, we get that part of it, and we can go back to being drafted 55th overall, and should he have gotten a full contract? We can relitigate that all we want. I've seen some strides from the kid from year one to year two, and that shouldn't be surprising. He was 18 years old last year. He was coming off of a literal cardiac arrest. He was not ready for what the NBA was going to bring his way last year. And I understand there's a lot of things that were done. You know, him playing with LeBron at the home opener for the Lakers. There's a lot of things done for show, and that can rub some people the wrong way. You know, whether you think there's entitlement there or nepotism, there certainly is some nepotism there. But I think that Bronny has, with being young still, with some developmental runway, I still think he has a good chance to be a solid NBA rotation player, especially with the defensive IQ and defensive ability he brings. He's got active hands, and he seems to accept any challenge he has out there on the perimeter. He was bodying up with Cooper Flagg and got the better of him last night. Yep. I was impressed with that part of his game. The shot-making needs to come along, but we see with guys that are drafted late in the second round, if you play defense, we talked about it with David Jones, Naquan Tomlin, Lester Quinones, all those guys that we talked about with the Tigers. The way you find your role in the NBA is by playing hard-nosed defense. And I think Bronny has shown he can do that at a high level.
It was interesting because he took Cooper Flagg off the dribble one time, too, and actually got the best of him. Bronny last season improved as the year went on. The storylines around him, to be quite honest, were annoying that we were still talking about some of the things that we were by the end of the season. Because it felt like you would have to actively choose to ignore that he was improving in the G League. He had a good G League season for someone his age that just came off of cardiac arrest. Bronny is uber athletic. He's going to be a defense first guy. And if he can just show the ability to shoot like 35% from three, he's going to be fine. He may never be a top 7 or 8 rotation type of player, but he could stick around end of benches, no problem at all. I think that his athletic ability and his defense is one of the reasons people are going to begin to take him a little bit more seriously as a prospect. You've seen it throughout this summer league. He has had a few moments where you were like, oh, okay, didn't necessarily know Bronny could do that. His athleticism is insane for the size that he is, but it's because of who his father is. His DNA, quite literally, is to play basketball. You know what I mean? So I've been rooting for Bronny. I thought that when Bronny got drafted, people made it too big of a deal. I understand why he got drafted. His dad is who he is, but there is nepotism babies across every industry, all over the country.
And we never bat an eye.
And we never bat an eye. But because his last name was James, everybody lost their minds. He was the number 55 pick, and he has proven that he might actually be a decent NBA player. I'm excited to see how he develops throughout the season. I expect him to be on the G League again and with most of his time. But I think through the summer league, he has shown a defensive ability that is for real. And you can continue to just keep ignoring it and hating if you want to, but I think that you're missing out on the enjoyment of watching a young player actually develop.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's still pressure on the kid's shoulders.
Yeah.
He's trying to deal with
that.
He's
got
to
get better from three. That's the big thing.
He's got to get better offensively in general.
Right.
But in the G League last year, he had multiple games where he's dropping 30. You know, he has his nights. He's a streaky shooter, I think, is the thing we've learned from him. And he shot around 34% from three in the G League last year. But again, the defensive ability is what he has to hang his hat on. And it seems like even when he came into the league, that was his idea. He brought up Derek White and Drew Holiday as guys that he wants to emulate. And what do those guys do before their offensive ability? They're good on offense for sure. They had to learn that. Drew Holiday, if you remember him out of UCLA, he had to learn how to play offense. It was not easy for him. But the fact that he had that idea in his head coming out of college, out of USC, into the NBA, I think is a positive, ultimately, for what he could potentially be in his NBA career. Having the expectation that I need to make my way by playing defense, I think that's the smartest thing he has at his disposal.
When you actually go back and you look at his stats, he averaged 22 points a game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and he shot 38% from 3 while having 2 steals per game in the G League. That's exactly what you want to see from him. In my opinion, the Lakers need to have him in the G League more. He only played 11 G League games last year, which that number needs to go up significantly for him to actually be able to develop, because he's just not ready to play in the NBA right now. He gets picked on when he's in there. The spot moments that you saw him when it would be at the end of games, he had success, but that's because he was playing the lesser talent on the other
teams. He was playing their G League guys.
Right. The one time he got run out when J.J. Redick decided to like try to switch it up and give the team a spark, he got cooked in that game. It was a bad decision. But I think that overall, Bronny has a shot. I don't know if he's actually going to be able to stick around. But the defense that he shows is for real. And he is just, if he can get that three-point shot consistent against NBA talent, then he's got a chance, man. And I think that the haters are just paying attention to who his dad is and all of that crap. But when you actually watch Bronny and you look at his numbers, decent player, who doesn't deserve near the criticism he gets.
And here's the other thing, and part of the criticism comes from this, what I'm about to mention. The NBA needs to chill out with how he's marketed.
Yeah.
Please
now,
relax.
I will say, they did, they positioned it as Cooper Flagg versus Bronny, and we did get more Cooper Flagg versus Bronny moments than expected.
And they were kind of exciting. And they were smiling at each other, enjoying the back and forth.
I will say, the defense he was playing on Cooper Flagg that got called a foul was not a foul.
That's also part of it with the NBA. They have got to be take it easier on Bronny. Putting him in like this matchup and saying it's Cooper Flagg versus Bronny is setting him up for failure. Now, it didn't fully end up that way last night. But, you know, if you have, like, a top-five draft pick and you're trying to pit that top-five draft pick as a matchup against Bronny, that's unfair air to put him into. He was a 55th overall pick. I understand he is LeBron James' son. I get that there's an allure to that. But don't put him in the same category and market him alongside some of the guys you expect to average 20 in their rookie year. I that's not fair to do to the kid. And I will die on that hill.
Yeah, he's still 20 years old too. Like, he still has so much runway. And that's why I hope he gets a real season to just be able to develop. And hopefully, you know, unfortunately though, he is LeBron's kid. And it's going to be interesting, because if LeBron ends up not being a Laker, what happens to Bronny then?
Yeah.
Does Bronny go with them? Do they try? It's going to be interesting to see what his future looks like once his dad isn't a Los Angeles Laker, which, you know, might be sooner rather than later.
Yeah. So let's talk about his dad. Ramona Shelburne and Brian Windhorst wrote a report on ESPN regarding LeBron James and his future in LA. And there's some very, very interesting details that I'll bring your way on the other side. But my ultimate question, will LeBron ask out? We'll approach that on the other side. So on ESPN today, Ramona Shelburne and Brian Windhorst teamed up to give a report on the situation unfolding in L.A. with LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and the Lakers. And within this, there are some details that we don't quite, we haven't quite learned until they ended up writing it. And it's basically, if I'm giving like the overarching plot of what is happening in L.A., LeBron James feels like he has done a lot for that organization because he has. He absolutely has. Delivered them a championship in 2020 when they were in the midst of the transition away from Kobe and they did not have a whole lot of young talent that was making them better, right? So LeBron James ultimately ends up in LA and he brings them playoff appearances in the West, a championship in the bubble, all of that. So he feels as if he's done a lot for the franchise and deserves a little bit more from them. Now, on the other hand, the Lakers, I think there is a certain appreciation that they have for LeBron James and what he's done for the franchise. But after trading for Luka Doncic, they feel like they've been given another chance at life. They have a young superstar that they can extend and have run LA for the next 8 to 10 years. It's a guy who's already been to a Western Conference Finals. It's a guy who's already been to an NBA Finals, and he's just approaching his mid-20s. So there's just a difference in thought process. Here's the LeBron James part of it. LeBron James reportedly felt the Lakers didn't fully value everything he had done while they shifted to Luka Doncic. This is what Ramona Shelburne and Brian Windhorst wrote. James understood the Lakers taking advantage of an opportunity to pivot to the younger superstar, but from James' perspective, sources said, nuance was sometimes lost during the transition. Doncic had never asked to be a Laker. James, for his part, had chosen L.A. Coming in 2018, when the team had missed the playoffs 5 consecutive seasons, the worst run for the franchise since it moved from Minneapolis, 2 years later, James had helped deliver a 17th championship. Now, on the other side, here's the Lakers part of it. All signs to the Lakers or point to the Lakers wanting to move on from LeBron James by the spring of 2026. The Lakers had already made their statement in not offering James a contract beyond this season. It was abundantly clear that the 21-time All-Star's time as the face of the Lakers had, for the first time, a planned end date, even if James' record-setting NBA career did not yet. Whether the 25-26 season is to be James' final season in the NBA is up to him, but if he wanted the kind of Hollywood ending that only the Lakers can give legends of the game, the release date was set. Spring 2026, Luka Doncic in, LeBron James out. Now, here's what we do in sports and sports talk. We pick sides, right? You're either on LeBron James' side, and you're saying the Lakers aren't showing him enough love for what he did for that franchise in their time of need. 5 consecutive missed playoffs, all that, he came in, won you a championship 2 years later. But then there's the other side saying, well, the Lakers have to act responsibly. The Lakers have to be a smart franchise here. LeBron James is 41 years of age. LeBron James has to figure some things out for himself. Is he going to play much longer? You can't rationalize, if you're the Lakers, necessarily giving him another extension, upping the money on a Supermax deal when he was second-team All-NBA last year, and he's earned that, and giving him another player option. So, like, it seems to be a decision here for most people to pick sides. I'm here to tell you, I get both sides of this. On the LeBron James side, he's earned another extension, even at 41 years of age. It's so crazy to see how people are talking about LeBron James. Like, he didn't average 24 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds last year on 51% from the field and one of his career-best three-point percentages at 38%. And he took about 5 or 6 a game. He was 6th in MVP voting. So, like, from the LeBron James side, I get where just going with the player option, them not offering him another extension, that could feel like a sign of disrespect. He's still playing at a ridiculously high level. And there's no reason to question he's going to slow down. Will he retire at some point? Sure. But we can be honest about it based on what he has put out the past couple of years and the production in 70 games last year at age 40. He has earned himself another extension. But I also get it on the Lakers side. You have Luka Doncic. You have a chance to pivot, get younger, get ready for the Luka era, because the LeBron era is not going to be there for much longer. And you have to act responsibly in these moments. And the truth of the matter is, as long as LeBron James is on that $53 million deal for this year, it's going to be near impossible for the Lakers to build a championship caliber team for this season. They're trying to pivot. I understand the pivot, but I also get LeBron James' side of this thing. I know that we like picking sides, but the truth of the matter is I think both of them have very realistic gripes and realistic criticisms with the other.
I think the Lakers shouldn't be building around LeBron. Making the move for Luka and looking toward the future with Luka is the right move for them. I don't blame LeBron for taking that amount of money. What I do blame LeBron for, though, is being a bit jealous here. He's a little jealous. He's jealous of Luka. Luka's the new toy. It's literally Toy Story. LeBron James is Woody, and Luka's Buzz Lightyear, and Andy is more excited to play with Luka than he is Buzz Lightyear than he is Woody. And I think that LeBron has some feelings about it. For the first time in his career, you could argue, you know, that he isn't the best player on his team now. It is probably Luka Doncic, but he was still playing at an all-star level, still playing an all-NBA level. I think that LeBron, being the veteran, being the player he is, needs to find a way to make this really work with Luka, because he needs to understand that he is now in his 40s and a team can't be building around him. They can't be planning for him. They've got to be planning for the younger players. That is how this works in the NBA. You can't be building around a 40-year-old. You just can't. That's not sustainable. There's just been literally no example of it in the past. It's just he is one of one. I think that he needs to stop putting out how unhappy he is and all these things. Listen, man, you're getting $53 million. They drafted your son. They've taken care of you.
Yes.
The Lakers have taken care of
you. You've also taken care of them.
Absolutely. I think, though, that this whole unhappy thing he's doing is just a bit dramatic. It's not needed. It's
right.
And to be honest, it's a little unwarranted. You're getting $50+ million. They drafted your son. You've been there for almost, you know, for as long as you've been there now. Of course they brought in Luka Doncic. Of course they're not running everything by you now, because you're not going to be there.
Right.
So they shouldn't be running everything by you.
Right. I completely understand that. But again, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that LeBron James was still sixth in MVP voting.
Yes.
And they could have re-upped him for 2 years and called it a career after that. They didn't, because they don't feel as if LeBron James on a massive contract is going to facilitate winning
right
alongside Luka, because they're not going to be able to fill out the rest of the roster. They lost DFS this offseason for that fact, and that fact seemingly alone. They have to bring in bargain bin guys. That's why you see DeAndre Ayton and Jake LaRavia as their big offseason acquisitions. And not a guy like DFS and guys of that ilk, or a Brook Lopez, or a Clint Capella. They have to go bargain bin shopping, because you have a $53 million LeBron James and a Luka that's looking for an extension. So you have to be careful when you're the Lakers, but I also get where we cannot lose sight of LeBron James and how great he is still.
Yeah.
You have to make that part of the conversation.
It seems like LeBron is having some difficulties with a team not building around him and him not being the number one priority
sure
for them anymore, which is understandable, because for the last 20 years, that's what he's used to. He's used to being
right
the number one priority for a franchise. But Luka has more of a future with LA.
He's
a younger player. He's hopefully going to be there for 8 to 10 years. That's the way they're looking at it. And LeBron might have one or two more years left. So they've got to do the things that can help Luka and make sure that he stays around while still taking LeBron into account. But it's not going to be just for LeBron. Every single move isn't going to be run by him anymore.
Yes.
And again,
when they sold the franchise, by the way, this was part of the Ramona and Brian Windhorst story. They didn't tell LeBron. They told Luka that they were going to do that.
Why would they tell either player?
I don't really understand.
Don't take the record, you know.
But does that not highlight a different
yeah
hierarchy and understand? Also, LeBron's not reaching out to DeAndre Ayton.
No.
Luka did. Like, there's just a
he's
different,
being pouty, and
feel.
It's I'm gonna be honest, it's annoying. I love LeBron.
Sure.
He's my favorite player ever. This thing that he does is annoying, and I think the Lakers would be better suited. He would be better suited if he just didn't put things out like this.
Yes.
Be unhappy and behind this could be closed doors and
Paul
quietly.
For the most part.
Yeah,
that's
but
also
doing this at the age he is, especially about Luka, I find it a bit silly.
I would hope if you gave LeBron and Rich Paul true serum, I would hope that they would acknowledge the Lakers side of this thing.
It makes sense what the Lakers are doing.
Of course it does. In the end of the day, the Los Angeles Lakers have an obligation to the Los Angeles Lakers
right.
and their fans.
Right.
Not to LeBron James and Rich Paul. Do I get their gripe with not getting extended and not getting a new deal when he's still sixth in MVP voting? Sure, I can understand those things. But the Lakers have bent over backwards for you since you've gotten there. And at the same time, they have an obligation for their future, not necessarily for LeBron James for one or two more years.
I also think it would be a different conversation if he didn't get extended and he's making like $30 million. He's making $53 million with his son on the roster.
52.6.
I also think that the Bronny thing matters. They drafted his son. And I know we just talked about Bronny, and you and I believe in him as a prospect to some extent.
But
he probably should have been the 55th pick.
That doesn't happen without LeBron and the Lakers.
Right. So it's just part of it's just like, really? Are we finding – you have Luka on your team, man. Be happy about it. Luka's the best teammate you've had since Dwayne Wade, and it's not even close. Just go rehab and get ready for the season and let the Lakers get ready for the future. They're taking care of you. It's going to be fine. We just don't need to do this every single offseason with LeBron. I love him.
It's
He's
tiring.
My favorite player.
I agree.
It's exhausting.
Yes. Now,
like, come on, man. It's $53 million. You're going to be fine.
Here's the real question. Will he ask out of L.A.? I do want to play this really quick. This is Shams Charania on Sirius XM NBA Radio talking about LeBron and his future. All right, now, will LeBron ask out? Obviously, Shams reiterated a lot of things we've been talking about where there's a disconnect. LeBron wants to be with the Lakers, but he also wants to compete for a championship. He doesn't feel like he can do that right this second with this Lakers roster. So the question for me is, will he ask out ultimately? And, Connor, how do you feel about LeBron asking out? Because we obviously have never heard him do that before. He has expressed his displeasure. But he's usually gone through free agency.
Yeah, he's just left.
And left. The last 2 years, we have a little bit of smoke, but nothing actually happening. No fire. Where it's like, okay, LeBron James, the Lakers want to be competitive going in the future. They're probably going to have to offload him. The Luka stuff, change the calculus on that. But we have heard some rumblings the last 2 years about LeBron being traded or potentially asking out of L.A. But, like, ultimately, with this situation, with the timing, Luka part of that franchise, do you think this is a real possibility? We've been used to smoke with no fire. Do you think there will be fire this time?
I think it's a possibility. If he wants out, ask out.
Right.
Just stop doing these mind games crap. I think that's what's annoying about it. Just ask out. If you don't want to be there, stop
if you want
leaking
to compete,
things. I understand wanting to compete.
Real quick, I think that's the wrong way of phrasing it. Because I think ultimately, if LeBron James had his way, he'd still be in L.A. That's where his business ventures are. That's where his family is. That's where he wants home base to be. So I think he wants to be in L.A., but he also wants to compete for a championship.
Yes.
So, like, that's the wrong way of phrasing it, in my opinion, is if you don't want to be there. I think he wants to be there. He just also wants to have his cake and eat it, too, if
you will.
That's
what I mean. You took the money. You took that money that's going to prevent them from allowing them to build a championship team. You're going to have a shot because you got Luka and you. Just two of those players on the court, they'll have a shot. They're not going to win a championship.
They were second seed last year because of it.
If you want to compete for a championship, though, just tell them, move me or buy me out.
Yep.
Just go ahead and say that. You don't need to do all of this. It's understandable why LeBron, in one of the last seasons he may play in the NBA, would want to compete for a championship. That makes sense. I think everybody would understand that. What doesn't make sense is taking $53 million and then being like, why aren't you building around me? Why aren't you building a championship roster? Well, it's because you took the money, man.
Yeah.
So that's where like you're saying you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you want out, I think everybody understands it. The Lakers aren't going to win a championship next season. They need
and
to start
think
building toward the
future.
They'd help
facilitate it for you.
If you want out, ask for a buyout. Figure out a buyout situation or ask for a trade. We just this song and dance that is happening. It feels so unnecessary. And I do think there's a chance that he leaves L.A.
Yeah,
I do.
I
there are teams that he could go to right now, and he would make them a championship contender. No doubt about it. Like if he like Cleveland is only
sure.
interested in him though if he gets bought out. But a team like Milwaukee, he could help them. You know, there are a lot of teams that if LeBron went there, all of a sudden you're talking about, oh, that team might be able to win a championship. It's just L.A. Luka, LeBron, great. Everything else
not
around
enough
them,
flexibility to
not
do
that
anything
great.
Of meaning. Let's be honest.
If you want out, just ask out. Just do it. It's this whole. It's not going to make anything easier.
And you know what the Lakers
to be honest,
ultimately them, right? to make themselves better around the margins with LeBron and Luka on the same team going into next year, you'd have to trade Austin Reeves or something like that. Pretty monumental. Break that contract. Break that type of player into multiple players that
right.
could help you.
But Austin Reeves matches Luka's timeline.
He's part of the future.
Yeah,
and he's shown he should be part of the future.
Right.
So you're just in this spot in L.A. where if you want to compete for a championship for one more year, it's not going to happen for you.
Well, that's why, again, I think that LeBron has earned the money he's gotten. No doubt about it. But if you want that money and you want to go play somewhere else, just talk to the Lakers about a buyout and then go sign with an Eastern Conference team. That if you want to compete, go sign or the Grizzlies. Go ahead. You know, it's there are teams that he can go to help to be able to compete for a championship. The Lakers just aren't one. But I understand you feel like you've earned that money. You want to get that $53 million. Fine. Just get bought out then. This whole drama
yes.
and making Luka feel weird and being upset about the things that the Lakers are doing and that they're not building a championship team, it just we don't need to do this again, man. Just ask for what you want,
yeah.
and it will be given to you.
And here's the thing.
Get it over with.
I will say this. If I'm approaching that question, will LeBron ask out of L.A.? I think this is the most likely we've ever seen for him on any sitting team he's on
right.
where he could be moved and he may not be on that team this year. Like, all of this smoke is different than years past. It's not unlike LeBron to leak things about whatever organization he's
playing
for.
Every year.
He leaks things all the time through Rich Paul where he talks about unhappiness and wanting a better team and wanting a championship situation. It's happened nearly every stop that he's been in. But this one's different, and it's for the reason you brought up earlier in this conversation. He's not the center. He's not the guy you're building around. He is used to every single last year of his career, the 21 All-Star appearances, however many All-NBAs. Is it 21 he's been on All-NBA teams? He's used to being the center
right.
of his franchise.
And he's not anymore.
He's not anymore. He's not anymore.
Here's
this
the thing.
This is the biggest difference with this offseason as opposed to years past. He's always been the center. This year, he's not.
LeBron is the most famous player on his team. He has the biggest profile on his team. But he's not the best player
no.
on that team anymore. And it's still close, which is unreal to say for being a 40-year-old basketball player. It's close between him and Luka. But I think that it would be disingenuous for us to sit here and say that LeBron's still the best player on his team.
Right.
The Lakers, for their organization, need to begin turning the focus to Luka. That doesn't mean that you know, all of a sudden just completely ignore LeBron. But at the same time, when he's upset about you're not building around me, they need to be honest and say, well, yeah, we're building around Luka. And we're building something that can be sustainable once you're gone, because that's coming soon.
You're 41.
And you took...
Right.
And listen, you earned that $53 million, but if you're going to take that money, don't turn around and say, well, you're not building a championship team. You can have the money, or you can have the championship team. You can't have both.
Right.
And that is what's happening now. If you want both, ask for a buyout and go somewhere else. But don't do this drama stuff. And what bothers me about it, and the reason I get frustrated by it, is I do think that this stuff will unfortunately be part of his legacy, which kind of sucks because it's so unnecessary. You are arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. If you ask the Lakers to move you or you asked out, they will do it. So just do it.
Yeah.
Either do it or don't. But we don't need to do a whole summer.
If he does, that's another legacy point of
if he does, to be honest, he'll go somewhere else and he might have success there.
Right.
That's fine. That's fine.
But it's still a talking point switch last year of his career.
Maybe.
Didn't stick it out with the Lakers.
Jordan quit twice. Who gives
a damn? I get it. No, I understand it. But, you know, that's another thing. Yeah. If we're talking legacy, everything gets held against them.
Yeah, which I guess so. It's just this all just feels so unnecessary.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I think that's why it's annoying because we're kind of like, man, there's Luka's on your team. Like, they flipped Anthony Davis for Luka.
And again, I don't have an affirmative yes or no. Will he ask out of L.A.? But I'm telling you, it would be the least surprising thing in the world based on all the reports and everything.
Yeah.
I'm taking away from this particular situation.
Sure.
It's different than any other time in LeBron's career. Way different. There's no precedent for what we've seen this offseason with him and the Lakers back and forth.
I guess my question to you is, if he does, let's say he gets a buyout, is Cleveland the spot?
Probably. You know, that'd be okay.
It'd be cool returning back
to the Cavs, yeah,
right,
for a little farewell tour, if you will. How long? Also, can I ask this question? How much longer is he going to play?
I think two years.
I know they said there's been this thought after this year he may step off into retirement. But if he wants to win a championship, and that's like the messaging from his camp, like I don't think he would stick it out with the Lakers for his last year. I think he wants a good shot at winning a championship before he ends.
Didn't he recently say like 2 years is kind of what he's thinking? Like two more seasons?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a game of telephone that you're talking about. If there's a report out there about how many years he has left, that is telephone.
I think that's another thing that I find annoying about this whole situation is it's always like, well, this was heard or this was said. It's never from him directly.
Yes.
It's always through a different source.
But you know what he does then? If he feels like the messaging has gotten too strong and he's getting a bunch of pushback, he can wipe his hands clean. I didn't say any of that. That was leaked. I don't know who said that. They're trying to speak on my behalf.
I'm reading The Godfather.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about.
But that's why he does that. And I think there's a lot of players that sort of follow that same protocol where they can eventually wipe their hands clean if they get too much pushback.
Now, the other side of this, too, is if he just committed to this team and committed to – which, to be fair to LeBron, he's wanted someone to be Robin to, I think, for a few seasons now. What's a bit odd about this is he finally found someone that he can do that, and he's now like, nah –
and it's very clear he feels a type of way about
it, for sure. AD was you fine doing that with Anthony Davis, but not Luka? Come on, man. Just either ask out or commit to the team.
Yeah.
You got two options.
He just wants another ring.
Which I get, so ask out.
But he wants another ring, and you can go get a ring. Oh. And Robert Irwin Jeweler, save up to 40% off. During the Robert Irwin Jewelers Summer of 1,000 engagement sale. Plus, for a limited time, you can get a free Yeti Tundra cooler with your purchase. Proposals need ice, and Robert Irwin Jewelers is delivering it in more ways than one. You spend $24.99 or more, you get a free Yeti Tundra cooler. But Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy an engagement ring because, one, they give you peace of mind. They have this thing called the Meant to Be Guarantee that we've told you about a million times, but it's worth repeating. You can buy your loose diamond and custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and you have 365 days to return it, a full calendar year to return it for a full refund regardless of the situation. No questions asked. 365 days, full refund. If you don't like what you got or you break up or you have something go on in your life, they also have more choices in every budget. You can find a large collection and selection of natural and lab-grown diamonds, and they will save you money. They have the lowest price on GIA-certified natural diamonds in the Mid-South. And for the Summer of 1,000 engagement sale, if you are already married and have an engagement ring and you've moved up in the world and you have more money to spend, you can go upgrade it right now. It's a great time to do that. Robert Irwin Jewelers can help you with that. But there's no better time than now to head to RIJ. The Summer of 1,000 engagement sale is going on right now. You can save up to 40% off. That's great. And also, with a purchase of $24.99 or more, you get a free Yeti Tundra cooler while supplies last. Propose now and pay later with financing options. Take up 60 months to pay. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Visit any one of their five locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. Now, hour number two is on the way, and David Cobb from CBS Sports is going to lead us off. Let's bring him on next.